Tech, data, privacy, and time. It's a trade-off, but are we trading too much? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. We are at a time between social media election meddling, privacy concerns, and fears of internet addiction, where we're reevaluating the grand bargain that we've made with technology. We've gotten used to trading personal information for tailored ads and letting devices into every part of our lives for convenience. But as we develop these habits and make these trade-offs, what does it mean for our kids? For the next week, we're going to look at this tech bargain and its impact on the next generation, starting with marketing. Marcus Collins is Chief Consumer Connections Officer at the Donner Creative Agency. I asked him how advertisers think about reaching kids.
We're constantly driving to the next future consumer. 3 years ago, it was all about millennials. And now we're thinking about Gen Z. And the notion is, how do we prime the pipeline on behalf of our business? So, you know, because we can't message 13-year-olds or young kids on Facebook or other mediums, we have to find other ways to introduce our messages to them. And while that at surface sounds a bit sinister, it's far less malicious than that, I believe.
What are some of the ways? What are some of the methods?
I can speak for myself. You know, the idea is, if the brand has a cultural belief that drives what it does, then we want to activate the people who subscribe to that culture as well, right? So Beats by Dre, they weren't targeting, you know, 13-year-olds. They were targeting a particular culture. And the product became the visual silhouette of a young America, of what was contemporarily accepted or expected of a particular group of people within that culture. And because young people ascribe to that, you end up targeting or reaching young people that way.
So there's kind of the, if you create something that's cool enough, it will have a big enough halo that, for example, my 10-year-old asked for Beats by Dre for Christmas.
Exactly.
That happened.
Yeah.
Good job, Grandpa.
Yeah.
But then as you try to create a brand with a big, with that kind of a halo, what kind of data about kids can be collected or is collected, and how can they be targeted?
Well, a lot of the data actually comes from secondary data. So it's not a lot of first-party data that we're getting. For instance, like the technology of the day, the Facebooks, the Twitters of the world, they have caps on the people who can use it, right? Like, you have to be a certain age to use Facebook. So we're not even getting data from people below a certain age. Even marketers can't get access to data of people 18 and under or under the age of 18 on Facebook. Though young people are getting access to the messages, they're not being directly targeted from, at least the ads aren't necessarily being targeted directly to those people. And the interesting part is, I think that there's a lot of fixation on the mediums that we use as opposed to the content that populates the medium. You know what I mean? Like, I think about it this way. When I was younger, there was a lot of talk of, like, violence in movies is causing violence, or Marilyn Manson is causing kids to do horrible things, and Eminem was an awful person. And today, we speak less about the content that's being consumed, but rather about the media, the medium by which we're consuming the content, right? Which says a lot, because A, the medium that we're using sheds data that informs what kind of stuff they get. Is it perhaps a misdirect and we're not paying attention to the content as much as we are the technology?
So if you don't want them to have this message, we should keep them off Facebook?
I think that the question becomes, what is the trade-off? In everything, there's a trade-off. You know, what's the Obi-Wan Kenobi quote is that only the Siths deal in absolutes, right? There's always a trade-off to everything. So, you know, we can say we're going to live a closed-off life where there are no cookies, we're not providing any data at all. Well, then, therefore, you, as a result, you can't participate in or benefit from the network that a Facebook helps facilitate. Or you can say, well, I'm going to be online, but I'm not going to open up any of my privacy, which means that the ads you now get have nothing to do with you. So then you deal with the annoyance of getting ads about dog food when you don't have a dog. And which is essentially what television has been, and kind of speak in broad strokes. And as a result, over the decades, advertisement has basically mean time out for you to go do other things until your programming comes back on. And the notion of using data to serve up more contextualized messages and experiences has meant that the the content that you receive is more aligned to you and hopefully should be more helpful, which is why Amazon is as powerful as it is, that the recommendations are based off of your behavior and people like you, so you get better recommendations. Netflix is the exact same way. The algorithm is meant to optimize the recommendations that you get. But it's the trade-offs that we have to decide, which trade-off do we want to take on.
My question is, what is the awareness of the trade-off, right? Like, we seem to be in a time when a lot of Americans are just waking up to the degree of the trade-off that they have made. You know, if most adults don't even know what they're trading or don't know where all the information is going after it leaves the one platform they thought they were sharing with, is it fair to assume that they also are making informed decisions about their kids' data too?
Amen. I couldn't agree with you more. It's like, if I don't understand the trade-off that I'm making, how can I make decisions for my child?
Yeah. Is it bad for your industry? I mean, if everybody gets angry about the amount of data that we're trading or about the practices or the way that companies, you know, if they're too cavalier, is it ultimately bad for brands?
I don't think it's bad. I think it creates an inconvenience, and one would consider that being bad. Look, you know, the data provided to us as marketers allow us to create more customized experiences that are either through messages or through high touch sort of interactions. And the idea is that it's not only good because it helps us serve better messages, but the hope is that it provides some value to the consumer, to the person, that help their lives just a little bit more. I mean, look, yes, we're selling things. Marketers are selling things. We're not a philanthropy in most cases. But I would argue that the data only provides information. It doesn't provide intimacy. And intimacy comes from radical empathy and great curiosity. And the marketers who are really, really good have been good at that before we had the zeros and ones. The Facebooks of the world provide data that allow us to do this more efficiently. But at the core, we're just trying to better understand people. And mitigating the access to data that we have forces us to get better at being curious and empathetic.
Okay, so then let me put this to you. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg repeatedly refused to tell Congress that Facebook wouldn't collect data on kids under 18. I feel like I hear you saying maybe your industry could be fine without it. Like, couldn't there be rules like that for kids and data?
I think so. I think that there is a level of agency that kids should be able to say, I'm really giving my info now. Because if I can vote, if I can cast a vote, then I can vote whether or not I want to give up more information about me or not. Like, I think that's completely legit. And, you know, as a father, you know, I think about these things and I police, my wife and I police what my daughter interacts with. But it'll be good to know that there are regulations in place that are keeping her safe, that, you know, as close as I am to the industry, I mean, I live in this industry and I'm thinking about these things every day. There's some things that get by me. And if my level of understanding is as high as it is, imagine for those who are completely nascent. So I think it is the responsibility of public policy to make it such that, you know, we're putting in systems and checks and balances that require people to give consent willingly and well-informed.
Marcus Collins is Chief Consumer Connections Officer at the Donner Creative Agency. Tomorrow in our series on the Grand Bargain and Kids, what happens to empathy when kids start to think they're friends with a talking computer? I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. We have just launched something I'm pretty excited about for all you Amazon Echo users. It helps you get smart about the economy, tech, culture, and business. All you have to do is say, Alexa, make me smart. And you'll get a new explainer every weekday from me and Kai Rizdahl. And of course, you can always say, play Marketplace Tech from any smart speaker.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.